The book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12. My family's feeling better, but we're still not 100%. So, appreciate your prayers for my voice today. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we're thankful for your salvation. And Lord, just pray your spirit of wisdom and power on me today. And help me to teach this lesson clearly, and so we can understand this important lesson. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, this passage, God promised a very interesting thing. God promised that in the last days, the world's attention would be on Israel and Jerusalem. And that literally the entire world would turn against Jerusalem. Look at the last phrase of verse 3. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. There's going to be a turning of the world's attention to Israel in a very strong negative way that's going to ultimately result in the Antichrist launching an overwhelming army against Israel, which can only be destroyed by our Lord Jesus Christ. But before that, it says here that the entire world is going to turn against Israel. Now, that's an interesting thing because Israel's not very big. Israel's only about 8,000 square miles compared to Oregon, which is 98,000 square miles. Has anybody here ever gone up to Vancouver Island? Anybody here been to Vancouver Island? Nobody? Okay, well, you have? Vancouver Island is bigger than Israel. Vancouver Island is about 13,000 square miles as compared to Israel's 8,000 square miles. So it's about a third again as big as Israel. And God said that in the last days, the world's attention would turn against Israel very strongly. And as unlikely as that promise has seemed over the centuries, it has come true. 100 years ago, the world was not at all interested in Israel, good or bad, plus or minus, or anything. 200 years ago, same thing. 300 years ago, same thing. 400 years ago, same thing. But about 69 years ago, when Israel became a nation once again in its own land, the world started paying attention, and they didn't like what they saw. And now there is a very huge anti-Israel sentiment worldwide. It's very strong and it's growing. Now, up till recently, that anti-Israel sentiment had not gotten a foothold in the United States. It had never really gained traction here in the United States. We were very pro-Israel. And it was largely because America was heavily influenced by evangelical and Baptist theology. pre-trib, rapture theology, and that takes the Bible literally, does not try to allegorize the passages that are clearly meant to be taken literally. And America was influenced by our thinking. But in the last few years, that influence has been eroded by heretical teaching concerning Israel. My dad, a pastor, mentioned that. I guess that was a week before last. He mentioned the teaching of a particular man who's now influencing the Baptist circles. But prior to him, there had been growing influence in evangelical circles by this Calvinistic, Catholic, heretical teaching about Israel. And it's turned churches all across this land against Israel. And this bastion of support for Israel has been eroding because of that. And just recently, this heresy has started in fundamental Baptist circles. I wasn't sure I was going to even preach on this until I was reading this book last night, and Daniel was walking by, and he saw it. Why are you reading him? I had no idea Daniel knew anything about this guy. And so it occurred to me that this man and his teaching might, Stephen Anderson, people are starting to hear about him. Fundamental Baptists are starting to hear about him. Stephen Anderson is a very well-known teacher. He has all kinds of videos out. He's the pastor of Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And it describes itself as an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible-only, soul-winning Baptist church. And it's got all the right things, it sounds like. It is apparently very conservative in its dress, conservative in its music, and conservative in its separation from the world. Pastor Anderson has a large family. And the emphasis of that church is on ministry to families, as families and not segregated into generations. Now, there are things about this church that are good. But Satan is using this man to introduce a heresy into fundamental Baptist circles, a very serious heresy. Anderson, or someone associated with him, has sent DVDs to, I understand, just about every independent Baptist church in Australia on this. His YouTube videos have been viewed in the tens of thousands, and his videos in all other versions have been uploaded and viewed more than 1 million times. And this message is getting out to fundamental Baptist churches. As one pastor wrote, Anderson's teaching seems to be gaining a following among independent Baptists. A group of several independent Baptist pastors and churches, especially in the Southwest, are leading this theological shift. They are very anti-dispensationalist and anti-Israel, insisting that Israel as a nation has been completely put away by God and has no future. They interpret Romans 11:26 as referring to the true Israel, the church, which makes no sense in light of the context of Romans chapter 11, as well as all of the chapters between 9 and 11. Now, if a person is influenced by him, there's several things the author here, David Clouds, writes as the fruit of Andersonism. The error that Stephen Anderson is spreading via his ministry is not a small thing. It'll rob you of the blessed hope. He has turned away from a pre-trib rapture, and which pastor's been teaching on. And following his teaching, you become a post-trib rapturist. In other words, you're going to go through the tribulation. So it'll rob you of the blessed hope. It'll take away from you the key to understanding Bible prophecy right, which is the consistent, normal, literal method versus the allegorical method. It will carry you into the dark forest of Catholic, Protestant, allegorical interpretations. It will separate you from sound Bible preachers whose supposed error is that they are dispensationalists. It will unsettle your thinking about prophecy and will set you on a path to confusion. It will yoke you together with, or at least put you in the communication with, and make you sympathetic toward heretics, church fathers, haters of the rapture, and rabid anti-Jews. It will carry you into the wilderness of wild-eyed conspiracy theories. So, this is not a light matter. And I want to address, I don't have time to address all of it, and I may go into more of this later on, but I want to address the primary topic that it seems to be the primary foundation of his teaching. Is God done with Israel? And following that, if God is done with Israel, then has God replaced Israel with the church? Is the church the recipient of all the promises that God gave to Israel? as the church replaced Israel. Now, Stephen Anderson teaches, it is those of us who believe in Jesus Christ that are Israel. We Christians are the true people of God. We are the true Israel. Pastor M.J. Felinius of 36th Street Missionary Baptist Church in Phoenix, who follows him or is associated with him, preaches, "So, I'm Israel. The people over there in Israel are not Israel. There's nothing in the New Testament to support the Jewish occupation of Palestine." And there it is. That's where this leads. If the church is Israel, and Israel is not Israel, then the Jews have no right to be in Palestine. Which goes right along with what the Antichrist is trying to do, turn the world's anger to Israel. So it fits right in with Zechariah chapter 12. So, has God rejected Israel permanently? Has the church replaced Israel? Now, this is going to seem like kind of dry, but I want you to pay attention because this is important information. And I want you to especially pay attention to the verses I'm going to show you. And even if you don't mark them, I recommend that you mark them. If you don't mark them, just keep a kind of note in your mind where they are, because this topic's not going to go away. This movement of the world turning against Israel is not going away. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. 10 years ago, when Islam was starting to make its rise, I began to see a correlation between Islam and the prophecies in Zechariah. And in back of my mind, I said, you know, they're not going to get smaller. They're going to get bigger. And Satan's going to use them to turn the world against Israel. And they're not going to get smaller. They're going to get bigger and gain more and more influence. And how big of an influence have they gotten amongst academia is shown by this story I read this last week. There was a young man who was attending a secular college in Texas, and he is homosexual, and it was a class on comparative religion. And so he was in this class, and he had a classmate who was married to a Muslim. And they were in a conversation, and he said, "Well, I can't at all agree with Islam, because Islam kills people like me," he said, "homosexuals." Well, that got back to his teacher, and his teacher called him into the class and said, "Quit talking like that, or you're going to be expelled." And that shows a new shift amongst liberals. Islam has now replaced homosexuality as the highest tier that represents liberalism. In other words, they'll sacrifice the homosexuals to keep the Muslims. All right? A few years ago, that wasn't the case. But now you can't speak against Islam at all, ever, period. And if it's a situation where they're going to throw out the Muslim, or they're going to throw out the homosexual, they'll throw out the homosexual. That's a recent change. Islam is increasing. And this idea that Israel is occupying the land illegally and that God has nothing to do with Israel anymore is not going to go away. And you're going to hear this come up in your conversations. You're going to come across people who believe this. And you're going to be mocked about, "Well, you're a dispensationalist. You believe a pre-trib rapture. Well, you're just an idiot. And you believe God is still has something to do with Israel. You're just fooling yourself." So I want to go through and just show you what the Bible actually says. Let's take a look at one of their proof texts that they appeal to show that God is permanently done with Israel. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. And I don't have time to go through all of it, but I just may spend some time and do this through a series of messages. I don't know yet. Matthew chapter 21 is one of their proof texts that they appeal to. 21 and verse 43. Now this is in context with the parable of the vineyard owner who built a vineyard and rented it out to some people whose job was to take care of the vineyard, and they would give him the profits, but they never gave him the profits. He sent his servants there to collect the profits. They would stone and kill them. Finally, he sent his son, and they killed his son. And verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in this? I'm sorry, verse 41. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builder rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Referring to not just a single nation, but the Gentile people, the Gentile nations. So that it's going to go away from Israel and given to the Gentiles. Now, the Jews rejected Lord Jesus Christ, and God did reject Israel as a nation. That is a fact. And God did give the blessing of salvation to the Gentiles. And God's attention did turn away from Israel in their judgment. And God's attention has turned to the Gentiles. But if you notice here, there is no mention of the church becoming Israel. That is very absent in this passage. It does not say the church becomes Israel. God says the blessing goes from the Jews to the Gentiles, but the people who receive that blessing, they're not Israel. It does not say that, first of all. Now, the historical Baptist view is that God temporarily set aside Israel. That God did set aside Israel. They were judged. They are judged. And he set them aside for a period of time. But that at the end of the tribulation, he will save Israel nationally. So our interpretation of this passage is that this setting aside is temporary. And you notice in this passage, Jesus does not address whether it is temporary or it is permanent. He just says Israel is going to be set aside. Now, those like Anderson say, well, this is a permanent setting aside. God set aside Israel. He is done with them according to this passage. That's not what it says. It just says he set them aside. It does not say whether he's going to bring them back or whether he's not going to bring them back. This passage is silent on that issue. And that's the issue we have problems with, Anderson, and with this entire point of thinking. We agree that God did set Israel aside. Yes, fact, truth, did happen. But we do not believe it was a permanent thing. Now, if this were all that Jesus said on this topic, one might be able to get Anderson's point of view. But this is not all Jesus said on this topic. Let's take a look at another passage in Matthew chapter 23. Verse 37. Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You're judged, Israel. Bad things are going to happen to you. You shouldn't have rejected your Messiah. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Does this sound like a permanent judgment? That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus said. He did not say this was a permanent judgment. He says your judgment is going to happen until something. Until the time comes when you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Till Israel gets to the point where they say, I don't care what message God has for me. It's got to be better than this. Blessed is anyone who comes with God's message to us. Because he hasn't spoken to us in 2,000 years. When that happens, the judgment goes away. Let's take a look at another passage. Luke chapter 21. In verse 20. Luke 21, verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. That happened. 2,000 years ago, that happened. Exactly as Jesus predicted. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that officially began to change when, in 1967, when Israel took control of Jerusalem. And they officially control it, although half of it is pretty much out of their, the old portion is still out of their control, largely. They can force their will, but it's a state of rebellion. I want you to pay attention here that two things. First of all, this judgment is not permanent. It's going to come to an end. And it's going to come to an end at a certain time that Jesus Christ called the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled. Okay? Pay attention to that phrase, the times of the Gentiles. And let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 16, and I'm hurrying through an awful lot of stuff here. There's a lot of passages that I'm passing through, even in this passage right here, that has to bear on it and proves this point, but I don't have time to go through it all. Romans chapter 10, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish people I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. So, let's pay attention to the language here. The Apostle Paul is contrasting two groups of people. He's contrasting those who believe in Jesus Christ with unbelieving Israel. Okay? Those who believe in Jesus Christ are who? Christians, also known as? What? Believers, also known as the church. So Christians, those who believe in Jesus here, are known as the church. And he says here, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish people I will anger you. And I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Those are Christians. Verse 21, but to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So the Apostle Paul is saying, the Gentiles are going to get saved. Israel is not. He's showing a distinction between Israel and the church simultaneously. Therefore, the church cannot be Israel. If words mean things, and they both exist simultaneously, the one cannot be the other. There's a distinction. There's a difference. Let's keep going. chapter 11, verse 1. But I say, then, hath God cast away his people, Israel? God forbid. God hasn't cast away his people at all. Not permanently. Now let's go to verse 13 here. We'll see this distinction some more. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them, who's the them there? Israel. Once again, shown in distinction to the church in verse 13. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, Israel, that thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in, the church, once again the distinction, both existing simultaneously, one's broken off, one's grafted in, but they both exist. And with him partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, Israel, take heed lest he also spare not thee, the church. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Well, how can they be grafted in if Israel's already the church? We're talking two different entities here. If words mean things, if language means things, he's making a distinction between the church and Israel. They are two different entities. One cannot say the church is Israel and hold to any literal interpretation of what the Apostle Paul was writing. For if thou wert cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's that phrase again, the fullness of the Gentiles. This judgment on Israel is going to happen until a time when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. He's made the distinction clear, and he says that this Israel is not the church, that God is judging Israel right now, but this judgment is not permanent. It's going to only last until the fullness of the Gentiles, and when that happens, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they, Israel, are enemies for your sakes. Once again, Israel and your distinction. The one cannot be the other. And you find that distinction all throughout this passage. I've had discussions with people of this ilk, and they've never bothered to really answer this point. They can't show that, A, that there is not a distinction, and that, B, that it is not a true distinction, that it's not truly talking about Israel and the church simultaneously as dual subjects of the topic. This last week, I've been reading through Jeremiah, not through, but I'm about halfway through Jeremiah, and I started reading in Jeremiah 30 yesterday. This is before this, before I started thinking about teaching on this topic, and I was just really impressed with these passages on how they bear on this topic. Let's go to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30. And let's go to the last verse of that chapter, verse 24. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. Okay? Now this phrase, in the latter days ye shall consider it, encompasses quite a lot of what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 30. So you see that where it says, in the latter days ye shall consider it? How many here see it? Shake your head or... All right. Okay. It's talking about the last days. In the last days you're going to consider some things. Now very interestingly, let's take a look up at verse 17. Something that's going to be happening in the latter days. Talking about Israel. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Interesting. There's going to be an attitude in the last days. Israel is going to be called an outcast. Worthless. God's got nothing to do with you, Israel. Neither do we. Get out of here. Which is exactly what's happening. And as I pointed out, it's happening in churches. Verse 18. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. In the latter days ye shall consider this. Does it sound like God's done with Israel? It does not sound to me like God's done with Israel. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31 at verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in thy dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Who scattered Israel? God did. And who was scattered? The church? No, the church wasn't scattered. Who was scattered? Israel. So the same Israel that was scattered, and we all agree with that, that same Israel will be regathered by the same one who scattered them. He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd and of the soul shall be as a watered garden, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. in verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also, the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and if the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. So God makes a guarantee. He says, before I cast off Israel, you're going to see the sun go out. You're going to see the stars go out. You're going to see the sea go away. You're going to see and all these things. He says, that's not going to happen because I don't let it happen. And I'm not casting off Israel. How many can see a loophole in this passage? I don't see a loophole. This is one of those passages which, if God can find a way to go back on that promise, then I have no assurance of salvation. Because he can find a way to go back on my promise. And that's a fact. God has bound himself by his word. This is not going to happen. I will never permanently cast off Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. I will restore Israel. The fact is that God is not done with Israel. No matter what all these progressive preachers and people they influence are coming to believe, God's not done with Israel. Turn to Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. We'll be done with that. Done with this. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me into the nations which spoiled you. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. He's talking about Israel there. He that touches you touches the apple of God's eye. Now we as born again, blood bought, children of God, are not to join the world in its condemnation of Israel. Is Israel perfect? No, absolutely not. Israel is a secular nation. Israel is away from God. Israel is under the judgment of God. But we are not to deny that Israel exists and that they have a great future with God. This is an antichrist demonic spirit that is turning the world against Israel. And as Christians, frankly, we're to have nothing to do with it. God is for Israel, and we are in the church age, we are part of the church, and that we are also a people of God. But there's going to come a time at the rapture when the church age is done. All those who have been saved by grace during the church age will be saved, and we will all be raptured up into heaven. Everyone who has been saved in the past and has died, they'll be raptured out of their graves. We, Lord willing, if we're alive and remain, we'll be raptured straight from our wherever we are at the moment. But the entire church age will be gone. And what comes left is not afterwards is not the church age. It's something entirely different. It's judgment and then the millennium age, which is different than the church age. Read the latter chapters of Ezekiel. You see that it's very different than the church age. But God is not done with Israel. And I just want you to be aware of this. This is a heretical teaching that's going out, and it's causing great damage to churches, and it's also joining sides with those who are resisting God's plan with Israel right now. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we come before you this morning and just thankful for your salvation. And Lord, I ask that you please help us to bear these verses in mind and put them in the back of our minds and to resist whenever some slick-talking person tries to show us that that God's done with that you're done with this, with your nation Israel. Just ask for your blessing in this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.